This is your ultimate stop for everything sports. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Should I say more? From the NFL, MLB, the NBA, to MMA. It's all in here. The Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast. Listen now.
And welcome to the GSMC Sports Podcast. This episode is brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. And as always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. All right, it's middle of the week, Wednesday. Here's what we're talking about today. We're going to start off with the NFL for the first two segments. I mean, they're dominating the headlines today. You got Aaron Rodgers getting a new extension and Teddy Bridgewater getting traded to the Saints, and also Michael Kendricks, the linebacker of the Cleveland Browns, getting, I guess, caught for insider trading by the feds. I mean, that's about as Browns as it gets. We'll be talking about those three topics for the first two segments. Third segment, we're going to be talking MLB. Red Sox, Yankees went on some wild walk-offs. A's, I believe yesterday, knocked off the Astros, and then you got Jacob deGrom adding to his little Cy Young campaign. So we'll be doing that for the third segment, and then for the fourth segment, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So that's how today's show is going to go. Let's get right into it. Let's talk Aaron Rodgers real quick. And Aaron Rodgers, he's kind of teetering between being the best quarterback in the league, like from there to being like an all-time great quarterback. You look at Aaron Rodgers, we know he's the most talented guy in the league. Anyone who says he's not, who is more talented at playing quarterback than Aaron Rodgers? People will say Tom Brady. When people say Tom Brady, they don't know what they're talking about, meaning Tom Brady, you're thinking of the wins. I'm just talking about pure talent, what a guy can do at his position. Brady can't roll out the way that Rodgers can and throw like that. Brady can't move around like Rodgers. Brady doesn't throw as hard as Rodgers. I mean, as far as who is the better all-time quarterback, you got to go Brady, of course, because of the fact that Brady's got the wins and all that. And I do have a problem with team stats being linked to, connected to individual players, but it's just the way it is. So whatever, you guys could have that. But as far as like just pure talent, individual talent, no one comes close to Rodgers. Maybe, and again, I'm going to stir some failures here, maybe a Matt Stafford type. And again, I'm not talking about wins. I'm talking about talent, what they can do at the position. Stafford maybe comes near. Maybe an Andrew Luck. He's a pretty complete quarterback. But either way, I'd still take Aaron Rodgers as the most complete quarterback in the NFL and the most talented. Of course, if he wants to be that all-time great quarterback, he's got to go out and win one more Super Bowl, I'd say. But him and the Packers ended up getting an extension done. I believe it's 4 more years added to his deal. For $134 million total, $100 of it guaranteed. Most guaranteed money in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. I know Matt Ryan's up there, but he's at 94 as far as the guaranteed. Actually, it's 103 guaranteed, excuse me. And Schefter tweeted out a couple hours ago that it could actually reach $180 million total. I'm assuming that's with the money that's currently on his new current deal. So now we ask ourselves the question we ask with every team that gives a player a big-time contract. Is it worth it? Of course. I mean, why wouldn't it be? Whenever Aaron Rodgers is healthy for the Packers are, I'd say, a guaranteed playoff team. They've made it to the NFC Championship a couple times since they've won the Super Bowl, been trying to get back to that Super Bowl. And I mean, with the Packers, no matter who they got on the roster, whether it be the offense or defense, I mean, they always got a chance at getting there. It's just a matter of getting those wins in the playoffs, which they haven't been able to do. So yeah, I have no problem with them paying Aaron Rodgers. I mean, what else were they going to do? People say, oh, it might be too much money. Again, what else are you going to do? If Rodgers doesn't want to sign it, he doesn't have to. Rodgers knows where he stands in the NFL amongst the quarterbacks. Rodgers knows that some team, if it came down to it, would offer him whatever he wanted. So, I mean, as far as the Packers giving him all that money, there's no issue with it whatsoever. People want to say, oh, well, you don't have money for the other players. Yeah, you build through the draft. You don't sign free agents and all. That's not how you build a team. And plus, you got Devontae Adams there. You just signed Jimmy Graham. I mean, running back position literally doesn't matter for that team. Offensive line is decent. And the defense is full of young players. So, I mean, they're fine there. And looking at the Packers this season, I mean, they're going to be competing for the division, no doubt, for the NFC North. I get that the Minnesota Vikings are one of the best all-around teams in football, but like I said, there's very few quarterbacks left in the league who still add a few wins to their team, meaning guys who, it doesn't matter who you put on the roster, it's still going to be a very good team. Tom Brady's one who does it. So is Aaron Rodgers. Andrew Luck also. After that, I'd say there's not too many other quarterbacks that can. Phil Rivers, maybe. But either way, yeah, like I said, no matter how good the Vikings are, the Packers are going to be right there. Whenever you got a Hall of Fame type quarterback and Aaron Rodgers, you're always going to have a chance. And looking at the Packers, too, very excited for DeShone Kizer. Packers ended up trading Brett Hundley over to Seattle for a draft pick. Not sure how high the draft pick was. Haven't seen it yet. That was according to Adam Schefter. At least that's where I saw it from. And like I said, Brett Hundley gets to go to Seattle. They needed a backup quarterback. It's a good situation for him. Brett Hundley, if he wants to stick around in the NFL long term, needs to realize that he'll never be a starter and he'll be a backup for the rest of his career. If you accept that, you'll stick around. Why do you think Brandon Whedon's still getting jobs? I mean, it's not that hard. DeShone Kizer, I still have some hope. I really do. Rodgers is going to be around for a while. That's no doubt. Kizer needs development. So if Kizer, if the plan for the Packers is to have Kizer sit behind Rodgers till he's done, and then Kizer becomes the starter, perfect. Perfectly fine by me. Why? Because like I said, I'm still a DeShone Kizer believer, and I still think he has what it takes to eventually become a good starting quarterback in the NFL. People say, oh, would you see him with the Browns? Yeah, DeShone Kizer had no business starting for the Browns that season. They got him, what, in the third or fourth round? Not like he was a first-round quarterback. And I don't really know why people act as if he was. And let's check that draft from, what was it, 2017, where Kizer got picked up. So looking at it, let's see. Cleveland took Myles Garrett, obviously, in their first round. And then they end up going with DeShone Kizer. Like I said, I believe it was the third round. It might have been the second. I could be wrong. They take him in the second, actually. So either way, second round, whatever. Fine by me. Still shouldn't have started. And, I mean, if you were watching the Browns last season, how they handled that quarterback situation, it was absolutely ridiculous. Hugh Jackson, nice guy, I'm sure. Great offensive coordinator. As far as running a team, he has no clue what he's doing. And you could watch Hard Knocks to see that. I mean, it's as if Todd Haley and Greg Williams hate the guy. And Greg Williams might just be one where he's a little too into himself or whatever, thinks he's a bigger than what he is. I mean, unless Greg Williams did something way back when, he's basically the Tennessee Volunteers college football team. He's basically Tennessee college football. All kinds of hype surrounding him. People say, oh, Greg Williams, that's a decent name or whatever, decent defensive coordinator. But for what? What has he ever done? And then you look, oh, well, way back when, years ago, he did this. And I think that's one of those cases. Because with Tennessee football, back in the 70s and whatever, 80s or whatnot, they were a great program. Now, they stink. But people still talk Tennessee up as if they're something. So, I mean, yeah, the way Hugh Jackson handled that last season was completely off and wrong. I mean, he was basically coaching for his job, hoping that some quarterback was going to get him a win. That never happened. So then you send DeShone Kizer over to a good situation. You don't think that Rodgers is giving DeShone Kizer pointers? People say, oh, well, Brett Favre didn't give Rodgers pointers. Rodgers knows that Kizer, as long as Rodgers is there, Kizer won't step on the field. Rodgers knows that. Brett Favre, you couldn't say the same. Rodgers' time was eventually coming. I don't think that's the case here. I think Green Bay knows that they have a backup quarterback in DeShone Kizer and know that this guy needs work. I don't know if Green Bay is full-on set on DeShone Kizer being the guy after Rodgers, but I think that might be their plan right now. But like I said,
something could change there. Nothing was going to change with Favre and Rodgers. Rodgers was always going to be the successor to Favre, and they were basically pushing out Favre the entire time. So, I like the move there. I mean, you get a draft pick for a quarterback who wasn't really that great for you last season. Like I said, happy Deshaun Kizer gets years to develop. He's the backup now. And as far as the deal, Packers did what they needed to do. And I'm hesitant on picking the Packers to make the Super Bowl this year, but I wouldn't be shocked at it at all. I mean, like I say, you got Devontae Adams, Jimmy Graham. Saw that they've been trying to shop Randall Cobb. Not sure how true that is. That's something that's been kind of thrown around. Alexander and Jackson should be decent corners for them. I like HaHa Clinton Dix. Linebackers probably need some work. Defensive line, I think, is pretty decent. So, Packers got a decent squad. It's just a matter of can Rodgers stay healthy, and I think he will this season. I mean, we have to wait and see, obviously, but whenever he's out there, they have a chance. Now they got him for a guaranteed another 4 or 5 years. So we'll see what ends up happening with them this season. Next up, we're going to be talking Teddy Bridgewater getting traded to New Orleans, and we'll talk about Michael Kendricks and the Browns. So stay tuned, and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for the very best NFL and college football podcast? Then check out the GSMC Football Podcast. Get the latest football news, both on and off the field. From the NFL draft to trades to the rumor mill to the NFL combines, they got you covered. That's gsmcpodcast.com/football-podcast. Get updates on college rivalries, game day insights, and much, much more. It's football talk the way you want it. This show eats, sleeps, and breathes football. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Alright, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. We spent that first segment talking about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Now we move on and we talk about some other NFL news, so let's get on to that. Teddy Bridgewater played well so far with the Jets in preseason. He's looked like the quarterback he was back in Minnesota before he tore his knee to shreds. And the question was, what do the Jets do with him? Do they start him week one? Do they keep him on the team as a backup? Do they cut him or do they trade him? That was the million-dollar question. We were trying to figure out what teams would be interested in him. I figured it was teams maybe like Denver, Miami, teams like that who aren't too sure about their quarterback situation. Turns out the team that is pretty sure about their quarterback situation, at least for the time being, traded for him. The New Orleans Saints. Adam Schefter tweeted out, said according to sources told ESPN. And that's when Adam Schefter, like, because usually when he reports something, he's like, sources told me or whatever. But when he says sources told ESPN, like, why is he reporting it as if it's his own unless that's what he does? I don't know. But either way, Teddy B going to the Saints for a third-round pick. Next season, next draft, the Saints will be without their first-round pick and their third-round pick. What sense does that make? And actually, let's unpack this whole thing. So Teddy Bridgewater is now a New Orleans Saint. New Orleans Saints, I guess, if you want to call it that. So, Teddy Bridgewater's on a one-year deal currently. What is the... I'm sure the end game here for the Saints is to make him, like, to sign him long-term and eventually have him be the successor to Drew Brees, but, I mean, that plan could very well not work. And you ask why Teddy Bridgewater's a very good quarterback. Yeah, I understand that. Plan might not work because of the fact, what if Teddy Bridgewater doesn't want to be a backup again next season? Drew Brees is guaranteed money next season. Drew Brees will be the Saints quarterback, starting quarterback next season. No doubt, does not matter who you bring into that building. You think Teddy Bridgewater is going to want to sit behind Drew Brees for another year, be a backup for another year, or do you think he'd rather go out and start somewhere else? Long term, sure. Being the backup for Brees for one more season, eventually taking over sounds nice. But players. I don't think Bridgewater's really thinking long term. I think Bridgewater wants to go out and play football and start. And you may ask, well, where's there a spot for him next season? Well, let's look. How about that one? So, I mean, you look around the league. Right now, everyone's quarterback situation is looking pretty nice, I'd say. You look at it, the NFC East, do you think any of those teams could use a quarterback next season? I wouldn't say so. Maybe the Giants, but I figure Eli's going to be their starting quarterback again next season. So, no chance for Teddy to start there, I'd say. The NFC North. Trubisky's going to be the starter for the next 2 years at least. Stafford isn't ever going anywhere. Neither is Rodgers. And Cousins is there for 3 years for sure. NFC South, Ryan, Newton, Bridgewater's on the Saints. Tampa Bay, that's a possibility. Winston doesn't play well this year. Tampa Bay lets him go. Bridgewater could fit in there. I mean, that'd be perfect for Tampa Bay, actually. You get away from the immaturity of Jameis Winston and bring in a mature player like Teddy Bridgewater. NFC West, Cardinals got their long-term quarterback. At least they think they do. I think they do also. Rams got Goff. 49ers got Jimmy G. Russell Wilson isn't going anywhere. AFC East, Buffalo's got Allen. New England's got Brady. I'm sure he's going to be there for a couple more years, so I don't see Bridgewater being able to start there next season. New York's got Darnold, obviously, now. Miami, another possibility for Teddy Bridgewater. You ask, what about Tannehill? Tannehill goes 6-10, 7-9 this season. I'm not too sure he'll be the starting quarterback for that team next season. I think it's a thing where they could cut him and not have to pay him the rest of his contract since they ended up reworking how the money was and all that. I think he got most of his money already. So that's a possibility. So far, we got Tampa Bay, and we got Miami. Then the AFC North. You'd think that Lamar Jackson would probably be the starter next season. But, I mean, what if he's not ready? Harbaugh sees that. You will look at Teddy Bridgewater, make him the starter. It could work there. Baltimore is a possibility. Cincinnati, I don't see that happening. I got to look at Andy Dalton's contract, and either way, I think Cincinnati's pretty content with Andy Dalton being their starting quarterback. Cleveland, Baker Mayfield's there. Tyrod Taylor's there. They don't need a quarterback. Pittsburgh, Roethlisberger, they already got their situation fixed up. Then there's the AFC South. Houston's got Deshaun Watson. Indianapolis has Andrew Luck, so they think. Jacksonville needs a quarterback. Let's say Bortles doesn't play well at all this season and holds the Jags back, and you can vividly tell. I mean, I could see a situation where Teddy ends up being the starter there next season. Then you got Tennessee. People were talking about the Bucks. And them not being sure about Jameis, how are we sure that the Titans are sure about Marcus Mariota? Has Marcus Mariota done anything to show you that he could be a great quarterback in the NFL and someone who could lead a franchise? Sure, he's shown flashes and played well, but, I mean, honestly, if you boil it down, he hasn't really done too much. And last year was terrible. This preseason, he's not looking too good. So we'll see what he does this season at least. Then you look at the AFC West. Denver, possibly, if Case Keenum is just absolutely terrible. That's a possibility right there for Teddy Bridgewater. Kansas City's got Mahomes. Rivers is the quarterback for the Chargers until he wants to be, so that's not an option. And you got Carr, who's already on a second contract with the Raiders. So you got Miami, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Baltimore, Denver. That's six spots where there's a possibility Teddy Bridgewater could come in and start. Of course, things gotta fall certain ways for each of those situations, but you get my point. So getting back to it, the Saints are taking a big risk here. You really got to convince Teddy Bridgewater to be the backup for one more year, and you're probably going to have to pay him a decent amount of money to do that. Because there will be a starting quarterback job open for Teddy Bridgewater next season, I'm sure of it. Some team's going to need to draft a rookie quarterback because their vet currently isn't playing well, or something happens. It just always happens that way. So it'll be interesting to see how this all plays out. Like I said, the Saints currently without their first round pick next year and their third round pick. So they're two very high picks and ones where you expect to get starters. We'll see what the Saints end up doing, but at first I was like, oh, that's a decent deal. Then you think more deeper into the surface. Not necessarily sure they could keep him around. But, I mean, at least the Saints are being proactive in their moves. And I'm sure maybe they have possibly some assurances that maybe Teddy Bridgewater is interested in sticking around. I mean, of course, you got to convince him still and have him to get that have him sign that contract. But like I said, we'll see what ends up happening there. So we move on, and I get why when earlier this offseason, when the Browns were making all those moves, adding tons of talent, why people said it doesn't matter because it's the Browns. I was like, oh, that's not really a good reason to say why the Browns will be bad. I understand it now. I get what you guys were getting at. And I probably should have sooner than later. But from Hugh Jackson saying that Josh Gordon's not starting week one, basically saying the dude's got to earn his way back when that's ridiculous. We're not playing high school football. You got Michael Kendricks. Played on the Eagles last season. Now with the Cleveland Browns. Supposed to be their linebacker. Very good linebacker at that. Got charged with insider trading by federal prosecutors. It's honestly just kind of just speechless here. Of course, if this were to happen to any player, it happened to a Browns player. I mean, have we ever seen any NFL player get hit with an insider trading charge? Peyton Manning got pretty close to that, actually, didn't he? With his whole, I know there was a recent Papa John's incident and all that, but I think there was one prior. Might have been, was it Papa John's? I think it was, when Papa John's or whatever, I can't remember exactly. But I think Peyton Manning knew something about Papa John's, eventually sold all his shares, and people were bringing up insider trading, but Manning never got hit with anything. So Manning, I think, is the next guy who came close. But like I said, was never charged or anything like that. And I got to look back into that whole thing. Because I think I'm almost positive I'd do with Papa John's and Peyton Manning. And it wasn't the most recent Papa John's incident either. I think it might have had to do something where Manning knew that Papa John or whatever you call it. Isn't it, what's his name? John what? I don't remember. Doesn't matter anymore because he's not on TV, obviously. But yeah, Manning knew something about Papa John's, sold his shares. And people thought that was insider trading. Nothing ever happened. But now you got Michael Kendricks, who basically made $1.2 million, according to an ESPN article, about the money he made from insider trading. I'm not sure. What does a suspension look like in the NFL for insider trading? And people may be asking, well, what do you think he's going to get arrested or go to jail? I don't think so. Because if you saw the statement he put out, it kind of seems as if he made some type of deal with the federal prosecutors, we'll call them the feds for short, made some deal, maybe pled guilty, and they let him off. They let him off because of that. Because, I mean, in his statement, let me see if I can pull up his statement also. Statement basically acknowledges, yes, I messed up. Like, he admitted to his crimes. And here's a statement right here. Puts, I apologize. 4 years ago, I participated in insider trading and I deeply regret it. I invested money with a former friend of mine who I thought I could trust and who I greatly admired. His background as a Harvard graduate and an employee of Goldman Sachs gave me a false sense of confidence. To that point, I had worked my tail off since I was 5 years old to become the football player that I am today. I was drawn in by the allure of being more than just a football player. While I didn't fully understand all of the details of the illegal trades, I knew it was wrong and I wholeheartedly regret my actions. Since the beginning of the investigation, I have fully cooperated with all of the authorities and will continue to do so. I accept full responsibility for my actions. Although I did not take any of the profits for myself, I am committed to repaying all of the funds gained illegally and accept the consequences of my actions. I sincerely apologize to my coaches, the owners, and my teammates on the Eagles and Browns, the NFL, and the magnificent fans to whom I owe my career. Nice little touch there. I also apologize to my family who I have failed in this. You all deserve better, and I will work my hardest to re-earn your trust and respect, serve as an advocate to educate others, and show you that I will never be involved in anything like this again. Thank you for your time and hopefully your forgiveness. That is not a statement that a man who could possibly go into jail makes. Michael Kendricks ain't going to jail. Probably going to have to pay back what he took, or what he made, I should say. And like I said, now I'm just thinking, how long does the NFL suspend him for? I mean, this is a new thing. Like, we will now have a precedent set on how many games you get suspended for insider trading. I mean, and like I said, this is the ultimate Browns thing here. And speaking of the Browns, here's their statement We are aware of the situation and in communication with the league office as we gather more information. Michael will not make the trip to Detroit. We will comment further at the appropriate time. So, not too many words there. And this was actually reported by Jeremy Roebuck. I believe he writes for the Philly Inquirer as of right now. But either way, like I said, very odd, just considering that, I mean, you got an NFL player who's getting hit with insider trading. And I guess the guy he was working with, he did give him, like, Eagles tickets and all that, just perks and stuff like that to keep it going. So obviously Michael Kendricks, not making the smartest of decisions, but like I said, he's not getting arrested. He's not going to get arrested. There's no way. There's no way if you have a chance of going to jail that you admit, oh yeah, I did insider trading and all that. Like, there's no way. He made a deal with the feds. He's going to get suspended. And like I said, that's the whole thing. You suspend him for 4 games. Is that enough for insider trading? You suspend him for 8. Is that too much? You suspend him from season. Is that just right? Who knows? But either way, the Browns can't seem to ever get out of their own way. I mean, when you got guys getting hit for insider trading, your franchise is cursed. Maybe move him to Baltimore. Who knows? But either way, we're going to wrap it up here. Next up, we will be talking MLB, so stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
And welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. So far today, we've talked Aaron Rodgers, we've talked insider trading, and we've also talked about Teddy Bridgewater. Yes, insider trading, we talked about Michael Kendricks. I mean, it was bound to happen, I guess. But either way, we move on to the MLB. Yankees playing the White Sox last night. Yankees were down 4-2 after 6 innings. Tied it up 4-4 after 8, and then Neil Walker hit a home run in the 9th inning to walk it off for him. Went at 5-4, pinch hit, walk off there. I mean, what can you say? What can you do? I mean, the White Sox had this game in the bag, it seemed. Gave up 2 runs in the 8th, like I said, and then you got Neil Walker in the 8th. Lance Lynn pitched well here in this one. For the most part, I'd say. He went 5 2/3 innings. Came up with 5 strikeouts. Gave up 7 hits, 3 runs. I mean, that's a pretty decent outing to me. The Tans is coming away with a win. But, I mean, looking at it, this is also almost a game here where, I mean, basically it's been same old for the Yankees this season where they can't beat the bad teams. Monday they had a bad loss to the White Sox, and they actually look like they're on their way to it. Of course, worked out a bit given Neil Walker hit that walk-off bomb. So, they won that one 5-4. And Aaron Judge talked to reporters again the other day. Said that he could return back to the Yankees before his wrist fully heals. That isn't smart. I mean, it's all up to Aaron Judge on when he wants to be back and all that. But I don't really necessarily think there's a point of rushing Aaron Judge back. Why not just wait till he's 100%? people bring up, oh, what about the AL East divisional race? What race is there? Yankees are making the playoffs. Yankees just need to get into the playoffs. That's it. They're not winning the division. I can't say that for sure, actually. It's highly unlikely they win the division. Why are you going to rush a guy back who is your long-term future for a race you might not, you probably won't even win? I mean, if I'm the Yankees, obviously it's not the right mentality to focus on the wild card. Obviously, you're going to go out trying to win every game, but I think realistically thinking, you got to be them thinking, all right, chances are we'll be playing the wild card game. Let's prepare for that, but keep playing to win, and maybe if things go our way, we'll get closer to Boston, and we could shift our goal to being winning the division. Like I said, I don't understand why you would let Aaron Judge come back before his wrist is fully healed, unless it's something where it's going to linger on even into the offseason if you just let him go, or if you just keep him on the DL. Something like that, then yeah, sure, go ahead and bring him back early. But if it's not, and he could be ready by the time the playoffs start or last couple weeks of the season, then you do that. But we'll see what ends up happening. The only reason why I say so, I mean, like I said, the Yankees are trying to make the playoffs and all that, but, I mean, why are you going to rush him back? What's the point? There is no point. I mean, the Yankees are doing just fine as of, like, obviously you'd be better with Aaron Judge, but they're doing fine without him right now. I'm not saying they're a better team without him or anything like that, but, I mean, they haven't fallen off. They haven't gone on some crazy losing streak or anything like that. They're still, what, 7 games back of Boston, I believe, right now? 4 games up on Oakland for that wild card spot? I mean, they're in a good spot right now, given all the guys they've had hit the DL so far. So we'll see what they end up doing with Aaron Judge, but like I said, probably not in their best interest to have the guy rush back. And looking at the Red Sox, they might have a closer problem. Craig Kimball, for some reason, just hasn't pitched well in his last few appearances. I'm not sure if it's the fact that he hasn't gotten many opportunities to go out and pitch, so he's coming in a little bit cold. But either way, hasn't looked great. Came away with the win yesterday against the Marlins, but there might be a problem there. Might be a problem with the Red Sox bullpen also. I mean, they were up, what was it? 3-1 after 3 innings, 4-1 after 6. They gave up 5 in the 8th, scored 3 in the bottom of the 8th, and then walked off in the 9th. I mean, it was a ridiculous game for the Red Sox. But yeah, you had 4 or 5 guys come out of the bullpen to pitch in this one when you probably that probably shouldn't have been the case. Brian Johnson went as much long as he could, went about 4 1/3 innings, gave up 5 hits, only 1 earned run, 3 strikeouts. The guy did his job. Cora brings in Brandon Workman. He goes 1 2/3 innings. Doesn't give up any runs there. Kelly comes in, pitches an inning, doesn't give up any runs, and then you get Mike Barnes coming in who only got 1 out in his time for the game for the Red Sox. Gave up 4 runs. Gave up 4 hits. Was absolutely brutal. Heath Embry gave up a run. So did Kimbrel. I mean, the bullpen really stunk out loud in this game. And they're lucky that they ended up walking off because of an error. And that's what it was. And Eduardo Nunez up at the plate. Man on first. I believe it was a man on third, if I'm not mistaken. Can't remember exactly when I was watching the game. But either way, Nunez hits it. I mean, it looks like it's an easy double play. Looks like we're going to go to extras. But the throw, actually, I'd say the throw was obviously not what you want, but the first baseman should have had it, I'd say. And that's obviously how Boston ends up winning that one. Boston hasn't looked good as of late. I'm not going to go out and freak out about them. I still think they're the best team in baseball, but it is something to point out that they haven't been playing well as of late. I mean, losing 2 out of 3 to the Rays. Then they split with the Indians, got swept by the Rays. And then haven't looked too convincing against the Marlins. Then you look at the A's. They ended up beating the Astros 4-3 yesterday. Jeremy Familia pitched well when he came in for those last couple of innings. I mean, this is a back and forth type of affair right here between the A's and Astros. I hope he do end up getting a game 163 between these two teams for the division. I mean, obviously both these teams I'd say are good enough to where they'll make the playoffs. I don't think the Mariners are going to be catching up to either of them. So if we could get that, that'd be great. But let's take a look at the rest of the scores from Tuesday. Like I said, we had the Red Sox beating the Marlins 8-7. The Orioles beating the Blue Jays 12-5. The Yankees beat the White Sox, like I said, 5-4. You had the Nationals beating the Phillies 5-4 also. Indians beating the Twins 8-1. Reds beating the Brewers 9-7. Braves beating the Rays 9-5. The Dodgers beating the Rangers 8-4. Cubs beating the Mets 2-1. Like I said, A's beating the Astros 4-3. You had the Royals beating the Tigers 6-2. Cardinals beating the Pirates 5-2. Rockies beating the Angels 3-2. Padres beating the Mariners 2-1. Felix Hernandez coming up with a loss here. I mean, he only gave up 2 runs, so I mean, can't really do much about that. And then you got the Giants beating the Diamondbacks 1-0. Bumgarner pitched pretty well yesterday. So, moving on to today's games, what do we got going on? We currently got the A's and Astros playing right now. That's in the bottom of the 8th. Both teams tied at 4. You got the Mets beating up on the Cubs right now in the bottom of the 8th, 8-1. Mariners losing to the Padres 7-1, bottom of the 4th. I'd say we can write off the Mariners as far as the playoff race. Cubs played a doubleheader. They're in their second game now. Like I said, first game they lost to the Mets lost to the Cubs 2-1 in 11 innings. Royals beat the Tigers 9-2 earlier. We got the Red Sox and Marlins continuing their series. Trevor Richards for the Marlins going up against David Price. Blue Jays versus the Orioles. We got CC Sabathia going up against Reynaldo Lopez. Yankees versus White Sox there. Nationals, Phillies, Twins, Indians, Brewers, Reds, Braves, Rays continuing on. Dodgers, Rangers, Pirates, Cardinals, Diamondbacks, Giants. So that's what's going on in the league right now. I could check these standings, and I should check these standings. I'm sure not much has changed since yesterday, but of course, always good to look and see what's going on. Red Sox 6.5 up on the Yankees. Indians currently up 14 on the Twins. Astros up 1.5 on the A's. The A's take tonight. They're only about, what, a game back or half a game back? Braves in the NL East up 4.5 on the Phillies. Cubs up 4.5 on the Cardinals. 6 up on the Brewers. In the NL West, you got the Diamondbacks and Rockies tied for first, both with the same winning percentage. Dodgers a game back there. Dodgers doing well to pick themselves back up after a slump. AL wild card, I think we can go ahead and write that off. I think it's the Yankees finishing number one, and then whoever wins the division between Oakland and the Astros. I've written off the Mariners. I'm done with them. They were frauds all season long. I called it, and I was right. The National League wild card picture, you got the Cardinals up 1.5 on the Brewers for that top spot. The Brewers maintaining that second spot right now, up 0.5 game on the Diamondbacks and Rockies. 1.5 up on the Dodgers, 2.5 up on the Phillies. So that National League wild card race still a bit more wide open. That's all I got to say for that. Next up, we will be talking about anything else going on in the world of sports. So stay tuned and I'll be right back.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, and welcome back to the GSMC Sports Podcast. Right now, we got the U.S. Open going on in the tennis world. Updating you on some of the scores, you got Juan Martín Del Potro, the 3-seed, won his match today against Dennis Kudla. I believe that's how you pronounce that last name. Was it Kudla? I'm not sure. Either way, he won that one. Andy Murray currently playing in his third set against Fernando Verdasco. Murray trying to make a comeback off of the awful injuries he suffered. Hasn't really played too much this year. I think, what, didn't he win the U.S. Open before, or was that Wimbledon? I think he won the U.S. Open, so I guess he's trying to get back to, I mean, being the old Andy Murray. I mean, there was a time when the dude was a top 5 ranked tennis player, and because of injuries, he's kind of just fallen off of that. John Isner currently played in his first set Let's see. Any others going on later tonight? You got Rafael Nadal playing tonight at 6 p.m. Pacific time. Moving over to the women's side. You got Sloane Stephens, 3-seed of the tournament. I believe she won the tournament last year, too. So she's defending her title 1-3 sets today. Venus Williams won her match today. And then I believe we got Serena Williams playing at 4 p.m. Pacific time later on. Any other notables? No. So that's what's going on right now. Right now we're currently in the second round, so still got some time before tournament really starts to heat up. So we'll move on from that. In United States men's national team news, you got Clint Dempsey retiring from professional soccer. For me, Clint Dempsey is the best United States player ever. If it's between him and Landon Donovan, it seems like Landon Donovan is basically the guy who's been regarded as the best. I'd take Dempsey over him. And I think when we talk Landon Donovan, we think a lot about his U.S. men's national team time, but we don't talk about his club. In the MLS, Landon Donovan was very good. The all-time leading scorer, that's great, did well for the national team. But Landon couldn't cut it overseas. He couldn't cut it in Europe. Clint Dempsey could. I've always thought Clint Dempsey was better than Landon Donovan. I just feel like he was that leader that the U.S. men's national team needed. He did well domestically in the MLS, and he did well playing for Tottenham, Fulham, and all those other teams. I'm not sure why we don't regard him as far as being the best to play for the U.S. And of course, you get people saying, oh, what about Pulisic? Give him some time. I mean, yeah, Pulisic is already better than any other U.S. player ever, but if he just doesn't end up panning out the way they're expecting, like, you don't want another Freddie Adu situation, do you? That's a possibility. I mean, let's not forget how hyped up Julian Green was before the 2014 World Cup. How has that worked out so far? The guy's playing Bundesliga number 2 division. I mean, let's pump the brakes a bit. And I'm not even sure, actually. I think you got some time in their last call-ups. They got some friendlies coming up in September. Got a game against Mexico, too. So we'll see who they end up calling up for that one. Definitely going to be looking out for the list. But yeah, for me, Clint Dempsey, the best U.S. men's national team player. I mean, like I said, well, not even that. He's the best American soccer player ever, I'd say. Better than Landon Donovan. I mean, like I said, the guy did it everywhere he went, played well. Landon Donovan couldn't cut it in Europe. So, that's why I think so. And again, I know that the U.S. fans and all that hold a special place for Landon Donovan, but I think I'm pretty right about this one. Could be wrong, but I think I'm right. Anything else going on in the world of sports? I've been checking out the WNBA playoffs as of late. Game is much improved compared to what it was when I last watched it. And I've been watching a few games and following Phoenix a bit. Diana Taurasi is an absolute baller. And there's been a lot of talk about the WNBA players and the pay that they get. That's one where I think they're gonna get that done. I think WNBA players eventually are gonna get paid more. And they're not gonna be getting paid like NBA type money or anything like that. But the biggest thing here is the amount of revenue they get in the league. I think right now the WNBA players are currently making 25% of the total revenue. In the NBA, they're getting 50%. I think the CBA is up after the season, so if I'm the WNBA players, I'm holding out striking until we get 50% of the revenue. I mean, why not? And that's one thing, too. People tend to have this concept, this idea of women's sports being boring and not as great or anything like that. And, I mean, it is different styles if you're watching. Let's not meet around it. Okay, I'm not saying one is better than the other or whatnot. It's different styles. It's not worse. It's not boring. It's a different style. And that's the same with women's soccer and men's soccer. The way they play, it isn't necessarily the same type of game. It's a different style. It doesn't make one better than the other. You can watch a WNBA game, I promise, and still be entertained by it. I was watching Diana Taurasi last night, bringing Phoenix back, being they were down at like down by 19 in the third quarter at one point, I think it was. I know they were down at least 17. Diana Taurasi scoring 14 points in the fourth quarter, absolutely balling. Brandon Stewart playing well. Sue Bird, who's been around for a while, I mean, easily the fastest player on the court there. Like, the game was exciting. It was a good game. Of course, Seattle ended up coming away with the win. You got Brittany Griner, who got fouled out in that one. But that was one where Phoenix should have won. This is the first time I think I've ever talked WNBA on here. But I guess if we're going to market the gift, the game's got to get marketed. You got to talk about it. And that's one thing I never understood, too. People, like, the media ask, like, why isn't the game being marketed well? Why isn't it being covered? Ask yourselves that. You guys are the ones who can cover it. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, how are you asking, like, why isn't the media like, the media's asking, how come the media isn't covering it? Go ask your boss. I don't know. But either way, I'm not sure when their game three is, but I'll definitely be checking that out. Atlanta Della Don ended up getting hurt in their game. I think it was Washington's game with a bone bruise. So we'll see how that ends up. But like I said, check out the NBA playoffs. It's not as bad as it's perceived. It's a whole lot more exciting than you think. So mention that. Let's see, anything else going on in the world of sports before we wrap it up for today? I think that's pretty much all that's going on right now. Let's see. Manu Ginobili says he's going to contribute to the Spurs after retire. Well, while he's retired. Manu Ginobili, that's one where I don't know. Manu's good, but how good was he really? That's all I'll say. So we're going to wrap it up here for today. Today we talked Aaron Rodgers. We talked Teddy Bridgewater, Michael Kendricks, and insider trading. The third segment, we talked MLB. And then for this segment, we talked about a few other topics going on in the world of sports. So thanks for listening to the GSMC Sports Podcast. As always, I am your host, Jesse Tapia. I will be back tomorrow, so stay tuned, and I will talk to you guys later.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Sports Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.